There's three great truths that I want to mention before we receive Holy Communion this morning, and they are indispensable to our faith, but they are sometimes neglected. Most people know by heart the Easter story. We know about the empty tomb. We know about Peter running to that tomb. We know about the grave clothes that they found in the tomb, undisturbed. No one took them off but folded them. They were as if the body was there, and then they just dissolved when the glorified body came forth. Amen. We know about the resurrection in terms of the fact that it occurred, but what it produced, some of the things that happened. There are three things I want to try to talk to you about just a little while today. Indispensable truth to the faith that we espouse as Christians, but it many times neglected truth. And in particular right now, when doctrine is something that not many people are that interested in. And I would advise you, in a day when the Bible said many false prophets shall go out into the earth and deceive many, and no marvel if Satan himself be transformed into an angel of light, and his ministers as ministers of righteousness, with scriptures that warn us very, very clearly that in the last days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Can you say amen? If you're looking for the devil in a red jumpsuit with a pointed tail and horns, you're not looking for the devil as he truly is. He appeared as an angel of light. He imitates righteousness and purity. The Bible said before the fall that he was the anointed cherub that ministered in the very presence of God. He was a high-ranking archangel, and he was in charge of the worship of God, because in the beginning the Bible said not only could he play an instrument, but he in his celestial body was an instrument. Yes. That pipes were formed in him. So he made the music and the melody that brought the angels praises unto Almighty God. Amen. And because of his beauty, he was lifted up, said in his heart, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will sit where only God can sit in the congregation of the north. But the Bible said, but thou shalt be brought down into hell. By the way, he was so convincing to holy angels that one third of them followed him in rebellion in heaven. One third of the holy angels in that holy place. But he was so persuasive and pervasive with his influence. So what we're up against here today is not something that we can treat. You know, so many Christian holy days and are just turned into blended with pagan holidays. Easter is found one time in the book of Acts, and where it's found, it has nothing to do with the resurrection, as we would say. It has everything to do with the Passover, and it would be interpreted as Passover. Easter comes from Queen Esther. She was a pagan, mythical queen that was a fertility queen, really, that was worshipped. Esther, Easter, you can see how it carried over. The egg and the rabbit, fertility. Fertility for the land and fertility for people having children to pass the land down to. It was a celebration of a fertility rite, and it was a pagan holiday. And that's the roots of it. If you want to get to the roots of Christmas, you can go back into the same paganism. So I have nothing against Santa Claus. Fact is, we had him out here bowing at the manger. As long as he bows to Jesus, we can accept that. And I love bunny rabbits. I think they're the cutest thing. Christian church had better go beyond bunnies and eggs. And we better get our doctrine right. Because it said some shall depart from the faith. Giving heed. Now, is this an Easter message? You better believe it is. Because we want to get a hold of some doctrine today that without it, the core of the faith does not exist anymore. And since Satan can't stop what Jesus started when he rose from the dead, if he can pervert it and pollute it, water it down to where it is of none effect, he will in essence have achieved the same result. So I don't just go by, when someone is teaching, I don't go by how big the church is, how many people follow them. If the blind lead the blind, it don't matter how many people follow the blind man or woman. If the blind lead the blind, everyone ends up where a blind man is headed, and that's in the ditch. Can you say amen? So I don't follow popular movements. I don't follow popular preachers. I don't stand in awe. I respect men and women of God. But if they're men and women of God, they are absolutely committed to biblical truth. And if you don't know where you stand in your faith will be easily shaken. Amen? Easily shaken. People come to your door. There's a whole group of people over here that's headed for doors. We went out in the community, and I went to hang one of our little door, you know, the door tag that you just put on the door, inviting people to come worship with us, grow with us, learn with us, grow with us. And a lady was pulling out of her driveway when I was hanging it really on the fence around her house. She stopped her car, and she backed up, and she asked me, "Are you about the faith?" She wanted to know what I believed. I don't know if you remember her. She started out. She backed up. She said, "Are you a Jehovah's Witness?" I said, "I'm a witness for Jesus Christ." "Do you?" And she said, "Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again on the third day and was crucified?" "Yes, I do. I do. I'm a Christian." She said, "Okay, leave it on there." I appreciated that. Just leave it right there. I want to make sure that you believe the right thing, because we've got this idea today that all roads lead to God. Pick one. No, there's only one road, one God, one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. They had a popular pastor, and I was so proud of him. I mean, he pastors a mega church, but they had him and one I wasn't proud of, but because he didn't answer correctly concerning the faith when you're on television and you're trying to please everybody. But he was on Larry King, and Larry King asked him about about Jesus being the only way to God, and he said, "That's absolutely correct. One God, one mediator between God and man, that's Jesus Christ. One name given under heaven unto men by which we must be saved, that's the name of Jesus." Amen, and Larry King said, "Don't you think that it's awfully arrogant of Jesus to make that claim?" And without skipping a beat, he said, "Not if it's true." Can you say amen? Not if it's true. Not if it's true. Not if it's true. If you're one of those people that doesn't want any absolutes, that everything is open, then you're one of those people that need to get saved.
Amen. Amen,
brother. And if you are saved and you're leaning that way, you're one of those people that need to find out what you believe and dig your feet in, because some shall depart from the faith. And the Bible said that we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. For there's no other gospel that can be preached than that that came through the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. Amen. Can you say amen? And the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief of the corner. And that's why an Indian who really got saved, amen, said, "I know that God loves the American Indians, because his name is Chief Cornerstone." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is gracious today. Number one, the resurrection proved that Jesus was the Son of God. That Jesus was the Son of God. Now, when he said he was the Son of God, on occasion they called him the Son of Man. And to honor him, they actually, because of his earthly fleshly lineage, they called him the Son of David. That's exactly what the blind man said. Zacchaeus, he said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So they saw his humanity, but they also saw his divinity. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is not just a good man, but God with us. God incarnate. Everybody say incarnate. Incarnate means in flesh. God took on flesh in the manger. This is an incredibly important truth. And if we miss it, it isn't the Christian faith anymore. It's something similar, but it is not the same. Listen to what Paul said about that. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, I want to teach just a little bit. This is so crucial today. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Amen. If he wasn't the Son of God, no mortal man could raise himself from the dead. So he said he is not just the Son of God, he is very God the Son. For in saying he's the Son of God and understanding what that meant, he was saying God has took on flesh. And though his lineage, according to the flesh, goes all the way back to David, but there's another lineage. And Jesus talked about that. He said, before Abraham was, not I was, but I am. I am. I am. It's the same thing that God himself speaking mouth to mouth to Moses when Moses said, who shall I say sent me? When he was to tell Pharaoh to let God's people go, he said, who do I tell him sent me? Who stands in this kind of authority over the greatest kingdom and nation at that time in the world with the greatest army? He said, tell him the I am sent you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said, before Moses was, I am. I like the Dottie Rambo song that said his steps did not begin at Bethlehem and they did not end at Calvary. Amen. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. Can you say amen? From everlasting to everlasting, the Bible said, thou art God. And that's what got him put on the cross by the religious people of that day. It's that statement that he was the Son of God. So crucial to the faith. We're so used to Christmas messages and Easter messages, and we've blended it with the pagan, and we're doctrinally unsound and unsecure. We believe what we believe because we like the preacher. We like the personality of the television minister. We've come down through a lineage that our families believed. But you need a personal faith that is based on the Word of God. Because many will say unto Christ in that day, Lord, Lord, we've done mighty works in your name. And we've cast out devils in your name. We use the authority that's vested in your name. And he said, and I will say unto them, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. That's the words of Jesus. That's what's not being heard that needs to be taught. Because deception is here and it's real. And doctrine is vital and important. In my background as a Pentecostal, I wasn't word-oriented. You could tell that by Bible study. Hardly anyone. When I first started pastoring, Bible study had 8 to 10 people. We had one couple that came. They gave $100 in the Sunday school offering every time they came. So glad to see them. But it wasn't about the $100 offering to our church. It was the fact that they came to listen and they came to learn. They came to listen. They came to learn. Listen, people are not perishing for lack of enthusiasm. You get a good choir that can really sing, people get enthused. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. If you're here for the liver shiver and not to learn with us and grow, you can't grow with us. Desire what? Desire to fall out for the 15th time. Desire to be used in the gift for the 18th time. Desire to feel the presence. I desire all of those things, but my primary desire that promotes and produces spiritual growth, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Can you say amen? It's a vital piece of spiritual armor to engage in and win spiritual warfare, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Can you say amen? We need to get deeper than we are. I was always amazed. And this family came and said, we get a tape of the teaching. They didn't even stay for the church service because they wanted to grow. They didn't want to just get in a line and get touched by God's presence. They wanted to be filled with knowledge. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. My people go into captivity. They live bound because of a lack of knowledge. But they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Can you say amen? Lack of knowledge. Somebody said, what I don't know can't hurt me. Oh, honey, when it comes to spiritual things, what you don't know can destroy you. You need to know. Paul said, I know. There's nothing here that I know whom I have believed. Not just who I believed in, but I know Christ. I know whom I have believed. And because of that knowledge, he said, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day. When that day of judgment comes, I don't have to fear that day. My soul is secure in him. I have no reason to doubt, no reason to fear. I'm not waiting till the judgment to see if my good deeds balance out with my bad deeds and somehow I can make it into heaven. I know whom I have believed. I know what he's done for me on the cross. I know what he did when he rose from the dead for my justification. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The Bible said that you be no more children. That's why he sent me here. And every true minister of the gospel, that you be no more children. Tossed to and fro by what? Every wind of doctrine. But grow up into him who is the head, even Jesus Christ. Till the whole body begins to build itself up in love. Hallelujah. Wow. It talked about the cunning craftiness of men whereby they lay in wait to deceive. And it talks about silly women. By the way, there's some silly men too. Anybody that follows after someone's personality because they like their looks, they like their delivery, they think they're cool. Like one pastor said when David Wilkerson was going to speak for him, or he was thinking of having him, and somebody said, why don't you have Dave come and speak to us? He said, he's not sexy enough for our congregation. And I know he's not talking about sensuality. Amen. He was talking about he's not cool enough. We're too cool for some Old Testament type prophet to come and speak to us. We want something that's in the now, something, this new contemporary attitude toward the gospel. The old cross is an old rugged cross. The new cross is ornamental. Down in Mexico, a missionary came back and he said he developed a whole sermon around something that he saw, knowing that an old cathedral would be visited by many Christian people, Catholic and otherwise. They would go to this ancient cathedral with all of its ornamental artwork in its architecture. And a man stood outside and he had made crosses out of wood, and some of them were on leather that you could hang around your neck, and they were very inexpensive. And he began to holler in English, cheap crosses, Cheap crosses, cheap crosses. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. Today we've got a message, amen, that's offering a cheap cross. Although it cost Jesus everything, it cost us nothing. But if you really want to be a Christian, according to the Word of God, amen, in order to follow Jesus, you can't just go to church. You can't just sit on the premises. You've got to know whom you have believed. And it requires a commitment. If any man would be my disciple, it starts with self-denial, not self-indulgence. Can you say, man? It doesn't start with what's in it for me. But look what he's done for me. What can I do for him? Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Deny yourself doesn't do without. It means get rid of all the junk, so you can have more of him to satisfy the deepest longings of your soul and seal you for heaven. I'd rather be here than Disney World this morning. I'd rather be here than the beach today. And it's a pretty day. And there are a lot of Christians on the beach. Because without this doctrine being correct, your soul hangs in the balance. So I don't have the option of going with the trends. You look on YouTube to see what's trending, Facebook to see what's trending. The whole world is following trends, and the church is bought into that worldview. We cannot, we must not, we must stay true to the living God. Christians are dying for the testimony of Christ all around this world. 24 Coptic Christians, Egyptian Christians, were beheaded on video. All they were, young Christian men looking for work to provide for their families in this terrible war-torn part of the world in the Middle East. They were captured and killed. 124 Christian students, women, and young men were killed at a university near Kenya by Boko Haram. They were asked to recite something in the Muslim, and they couldn't. Are you Christian? The first several that died were immediately killed before any quizzing. Are you Christian? Bang. Are you Christian? Bang. Are you Christian? Bang. Paul looked out at a congregation, probably not yet fully committed to follow Christ, and he had these words to say: you have not suffered unto blood. You haven't resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You haven't had to put your life on the line. And I pray in America, as long as we cherish and stand up and be vocal and vote and vote and vote, let them know if you're going to tread on our right to believe what we believe, our freedom of speech, our right to practice our faith, we're not going to keep you in office. There's no money you can offer us, no benefits you can offer us, no blessings you can offer us that we will put our faith and our freedom in jeopardy to receive. Can you say amen to that today? Amen. Will you give God a hand clap for that truth today? But I don't like that guy. I don't like that gal. This is not about personality. This is about praying for kings and those that are in authority that you might live a peaceable life. We can't keep sinning against God in America and expect his blessing upon this nation. I like what one man said, America's great because she's good. And if she ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. So it's vitally important, particularly in these seasons, Christmas and Easter, that we understand how important doctrine is. Listen to this from the Amplified, verse 3 and 4. The gospel regarding his son, who as to the flesh, his human nature, was descended from David. but as to his divine nature, according to the Spirit of holiness, was openly designated the Son of God in power, in a striking, triumphant, and miraculous manner by his resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Messiah, the Anointed One. The resurrection proved something. It proved that Jesus was God incarnate. It proves that he was very God and very man. It proved that who he was true, and every word that he spoke was true, because no man could raise himself from the dead unless he's the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for the patty cake. Now give him a good hand clap. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you go to the Ganges River, they believe that Buddha's ashes have been spread in the Ganges. Some people today illegally still have the pagan practice. If they want their crops to come forth when most people are starving, they take a newborn baby and throw that baby into the Ganges alive and let it drown, courting the favor of this God that they have made for themselves and bow down in worship. If you go to Mecca, where they believe that the bones of Muhammad exist, the pilgrims make a pilgrimage to go see where his bones are in Mecca. But if you go to Red Square, if you want to get into the political and the worship of man more than God, you will find the body of the leaders of communism, Marx and Lenin, in Red Square. But if you go to Jerusalem looking for the body or the bones of Jesus Christ, you will not find them. For on the third day, he rose from the dead. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And it validated a truth that is crucial to the faith. That Jesus was very man and very God. So he earned the title, the Son of God. The Son of God and God the Son. Can you say amen? How crucial is that? I'm amazed today at the shallow preaching and the biblical illiteracy of so many people. I found it out. People wanted to touch. They wanted God to heal them. They wanted God to help them. They wanted to feel something on Sunday morning. But they didn't want to learn anything. So they never grew up. They stayed spiritual babies, and we had a church full of babies. How would you like to be the only nursery worker in a nursery full of babies? Crying, squalling, and bawling. Throwing temper tantrums. Oh, babies throw temper tantrums. Babies don't know God from the devil. They'll let the devil use them to interrupt. They'll let the devil use them to divide. They don't grow up. And the demand, you point them to Christ, but they can't receive from Jesus. They're looking at you. This man here, he's just, you know, been down the road enough and close to ministry enough. One time I said, if we had 150 more people, he said you'd have 150 more headaches. Well, unless people grow up, that's exactly right. Somebody thinks, I can save them. I can't save you. I can point you to the Savior. Amen. Such as I have, and I have Christ and the Holy Spirit. But it's God that does the work. I can't satisfy you. I've tried for 42 years to satisfy people. I have never been able to do it. Never. I'm not loud enough for some. I'm not soft enough for others. You can't please everybody. I made up my mind, I'm going to please the Lord.
Amen.
And I made up my mind that people that love the Lord will appreciate that fact. I made up my mind, I'm going to tell the whole truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth. Somebody told me at work, they say, preacher, doesn't it say the truth will make you free? I said, no, it does not. It says if you continue, in my word, you will know the truth. And then that truth received, that truth accepted, that truth assimilated, then that truth acted on will make you free and will keep you free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Those who, the resurrection is a sign to a gainsaying world that Jesus is who he said he was, that Christ, the Son of the living God, not only the Son of God, but God the Son. And those who refused to believe demanded what people always demand, a sign, a sign. Prove to me that God exists. Prove to me that Jesus was the Son of God. I'm going to read that from Matthew 12, 38 through 42 very quickly. It said, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. But there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. They refused to listen. They refused to believe. They said, they actually told him if he would come down from the cross, when he was on the cross, they would believe in him. Isn't that incredible? When people don't want to believe, you'll find a reason not to believe. And you know why people don't want to believe? Because the moment you believe, you become accountable. Well, really, you're accountable whether you believe or not. But if you believe, you know you're accountable. There's a payday coming, Brother Taylor. There's a payday for me if I serve him. And there's a payday for anyone else who doesn't serve him. But everybody's going to get a payday one day. Robert G. Lee, the great evangelist, saw so many souls come to Christ. He preached a message in his evangelistic effort over and over again, payday, someday. George Whitefield saw people run to the altars to receive Christ because he's preached the message that it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. That means if you face him as judge and not as Savior, it's the most terrible thought that you could ever entertain. Can you say amen? And he said, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Amen. Listen to me carefully. That message is gone. It is out the window. But the day of judgment is still coming. The day of the Lord is still coming. Amen. It's appointed unto man once to die. But that is not the end. Can you say amen? And after this, the what? The what? The judgment. For the Christian, it's the judgment seat of Christ. Your soul is not in jeopardy. But for the person who doesn't know Christ, they have to stand before the great white throne. And the books are opened, and everyone whose name was not found in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire with the false prophet and the Antichrist. And the Bible said, this is the second death. Amen. There's been one death that is physical. This death is spiritual separation from God, banishment and punishment from his presence. But it goes on to say, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over whom the second death has no power. I tell you, it's not just what I'm saved to that motivates me today. It's what I'm saved from. Hallelujah. Listen, if the walls were not jasper, if the streets were not gold, if the gates were not pearl, if I had a double wide in a pasture, I escaped that banishment and punishment, I'd be so glad to live in that double wide in heaven. Now, God don't have no double wide in heaven. You're stuck with a mansion. My mother loved trailers more than houses. You couldn't. She had never seen a house she liked as good as a mobile home. And I told my wife the other day, I said, I know there's nothing but mansions in heaven according to the Word of God, abiding places. But if there is a trailer there, that's my mama. One big old mobile home up on a hill out there. That's Ma Jean. That's Belva Jeanette. Hallelujah. Sure is the world. Listen to me. I'm so glad to be saved today. You can't tempt me, tantalize me with all that the world has to offer. Jesus marveled. See, the lack of understanding of this doctrinal truth was so crucial and so critical. Jesus said, what would a man give? What would a man give in exchange for his eternal soul? Fortune? Worth more? Ask the rich man. Ask the rich man who died without Christ, who had it all. Ask him. Ask him, was it worth it? And he said, I got brothers. They think I'm successful. They think this is the route to go. They think if I had what he had, this would be all I would ever want in life. Send Lazarus to tell my brothers, don't come to this place. What happened to this doctrinal truth? There's only two destinations for the human soul. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the resurrection. Hallelujah, that consummated what he began on the cross so that we could be saved. Hallelujah. I thank him every day. This is so crucial to the faith. 1 John 5:4-5 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This is not that faith to believe for your car, your light bill, whatever else you're believing for. This is the truth that was once delivered to the saints. That body of truth. This is not a verb. This is a noun. This is descriptive of the truth that was once delivered. And the Bible said we're to earnestly contend in Jude. Put up a real fight. Earnestly contend for what? The faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Not a watered down version. Not a version that man has messed with and messed up. Because we're not going to answer to the History Channel. We're not going to answer to some denomination. Some presbytery. Some conclave of people getting together and deciding what we will accept and what we will reject in light of what society wants. We're going to answer to God. And this is His Word. When they took the Ten Commandments out of a courtroom in Alabama, once they lost the fight to keep it in, that had been there for years, it was on a large stone engraved, until they could actually physically remove it from the courtroom. They brought in a tarpaulin and they covered it up. They covered it up. Why? Because it was a reminder to everyone every time they saw it. There is a God. He has spoken. And we must account. And that's why the Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why would he say that? Because the moment he accepts that, he has to account. He knows he's accountable. And we want to sin without consequence. And it ain't gonna happen. Can you say, man, there is an antidote for sin, and it is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And everyone in here that has a sin issue can go out of here white as the driven snow today. You don't have to go out condemned. You don't have to hang your head. Hallelujah. You can understand this vital truth. Jesus is the Son of God. By the way, flesh and blood does not reveal this. Who do men say that I am? That's what he asked Peter. Who do men say that I am? Some say you're Elijah. All this speculation. Peter, you're just a fisherman. Who do you say that I am? Without skipping a beat, God dropped it in his heart. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There it is. 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 Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. but my Father which is in heaven. Upon this rock, not Peter, but this revelation of Jesus Christ, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Woo! So if you think that you're too spiritual for doctrine, have you ever heard, I'm so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good? That's you. Don't you get so heavenly minded. Don't you get so many leadings from God that you can't verify it in the Word. Because I know people that thought they were that close to God, they couldn't tell the devil from the Lord when he came as an angel of light. They couldn't, but they... I've heard people say, thus saith the Lord, and it couldn't have been the Lord because it contradicted his Word. The Spirit and the Word agree. Listen to me carefully. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Yes, sir. Beloved, believe not every spirit. But try the spirits. How in the world do you try a spirit? Same way you try angels. Same way you try angels. That's it. Hold it high once again by the word of God. Even if an angel. Come on, we got preachers that were put in above angels. We're supposed to test angels by what they say. And we just let anything go without testing them. Because they're popular. They're powerful with their influence. And thousands of people follow them. If the blind lead the blind, it doesn't matter how many people follow a blind man. That doesn't make him see. And it doesn't make him right. And no marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light. And if an angel of light bring you another gospel. If an angel appear with another gospel, how do you know it's another? You got to know the doctrine. You got to know the faith. You got to know what the Bible says and know the God who says, I'm the Lord God of Israel and I change not. I'm not going to lower the standard to accommodate the society and the sin of fallen man. I'm going to offer my son on the cross so that sins can be forgiven and prisoners in Satan's prison house can go free. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. Listen carefully. And here's something that, I like what Dr. Siemens tells. He tells of a Muslim who became a Christian in Africa. Some of his friends asked him, why have you become a Christian? He answered, well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down the road and suddenly the road forked into two directions. And you didn't know which way to go to get to where you want to be. And there was a fork in the road where two men, one dead and one alive. Which one would you ask for directions? Every, without exception, head of every world religion outside of Christianity is graveyard dead. Amen. Muhammad's dead. Yes. Buddha's dead. Krishna, they're all dead. Can you say amen? Which one am I going to ask for directions to escape death, make heaven my home? The one that's alive. The one that conquered death. Can you say, man? That's why when they came to the graveyard seeking Jesus on resurrection morning, the angel said, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus. He's not here. He's risen as he said. And then he asked him a poignant, pointed question. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Can you say, man? Hallelujah. 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 You don't get your doctrine from Oprah. You don't get your moral code from Dr. Phil. What the resurrection proved is that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Hallelujah. It's revelation. When you get it by revelation, it's not just a mental decision. Oh, I like that one better than this one, so I choose this one. They all lead to God. No, when you get the revelation, you know that you know that you know. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's why Paul said, I know. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. Against that day. That judgment day that's coming. And what it proclaimed. What is unpreached so much that the resurrection proclaimed? Would you like to hear what's not being preached this morning?
Yes, sir.
Concerning the resurrection that should be now more than ever.
Yes.
Acts 17 and verse 31. Acts 17 and verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he ordained, whereof he has given assurance to all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. People are not going to church this morning to hear about the judgment to come and how to escape it. They're going to church this morning to hear about an empty tomb. That's a given. Christ is risen. That's wonderful. What's for lunch? No conviction. No compulsion to serve the living and true God. Jesus Christ will be the judge of the world. The Bible said all judgment God has committed to the Son. He's the one that came. He's the one that bled. He's the one that died. He's the one that people rejected. It's His right, rejected His Savior, to be the judge. Everybody say revelation.
Revelation.
In the book of Revelation, John heard a voice like many waters flowing, like Niagara Falls. Power, power, powerful voice. He said, I turned to see who it was speaking so powerfully. And he saw Jesus, not Jesus on the cross, or Jesus on the donkey, or Jesus being beat up in Pilate's hall. He saw the resurrected, glorified King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said his hair was number one. The first thing he noticed about his person, his hair was as wool. What is that about? That means he has the right to judge. He's righteous enough to judge. He has no sin. He therefore has the right to judge sin. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He paid the price for sin and people trodden underfoot the blood of the covenant. He has the right and he has been appointed to judge. His eyes were as fire. This is not Superman looking directly into the heart, seeing through things. It's not that kind of vision. It meant fiery indignation. People are not talking about that Jesus. They're not talking about judgment to come. They don't tremble in church. They can go from the church to the world and back as if it's a revolving door. The kingdom of God has no revolving door. Listen to me carefully. Some of you look sad in church services where you ponder the fact that you must account to God one day. Get saved and you won't have to be sad no more. Repent of your sin and let Him cleanse you. And you can rejoice with the saints and praise Him from the heart. Brother Venable, this makes me uncomfortable. If you're not saved, I pray that you can't sleep. That you get indigestion. I pray that the fleas of 1,000 camels will infest your bedclothes. Well, maybe I wouldn't go that far. Can you say amen? I pray that you wake up. Amen. I don't want you comfortable if you're not ready to meet Jesus. I want you troubled. But I want you to get saved. And I want you to know that you're saved. And I want you to have that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchase of God. Born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. Resurrection not only proved that Jesus was the Son of God, but also a day of judgment is coming. And Christ will be the judge. Christ, this lost message, when Paul preached the gospel to Felix. You see, Felix And I've got to hurry. But Felix, the governor, was used to being given bribes to let people go. So he said, bring Jesus to me. And I'm going to make an excuse to have him come. Bring Paul to me. I want to make an excuse. I've got him held as a prisoner. Bible said he invited Paul to come and speak with him concerning the faith. He knew Paul was red hot on fire for God. And he'd show up, tell him, I want to hear about the faith. See, he didn't know what he was in for. He didn't know what he was in. In fact, it said he was expecting to receive something from him, something material, a bribe. Pay me some money. Take an offering. Take a love offering. Pay me some money, and maybe I'll let you go free. But under the ruse of hearing about the faith, the gospel. What Paul preached is not written, his sermon. But the result of that sermon tells you what was in that sermon. In Acts 24:25, it said, and Felix reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And you know what happened to Felix? The Bible said he trembled. What was he trembling at? The thought of accounting to a holy God. Can you say amen? And the thought of where he would spend eternity. Friend, until you get saved, that ought to make every person tremble. Can you say amen? I want to know that I know that I know. I don't want anything the devil holds up and says, look what I can give you. Honey, you can't touch this. Can you say amen? To quote that great MC Hammer. He's not a prophet, but I like the song. When it comes to my faith, you can't touch this. You can't. No, there's no person. If Pamela goes back, I'm not going with her. She'll have to go back by herself. If I go back, she's not going with me. Amen. This is beyond love for a person. This is love for our God. This is need for our God. Some people come in Sunday after Sunday and you're never happy. Never happy. Never! And you claim Christ. You claim Jesus. There was a song by Burl Ives made popular. Mr. In Between. People on the fence can't be happy because they got one foot in the world and one in the church. And they're pulled back and forth. When they're in church, they're convicted of their sin. When they're in the world, they're compelled to go on in sin. And then when they get back to church, they're convicted of their sin. And it's a never-ending circle. And Mr. In-Between makes a feller mean. I'd hate to be around you all day and hear you complain. I don't want to be in your presence because there'd be so many why's, I'd want to call a wambulance for you. Did you get that wambulance? Yeah. How you doing today? Wah! How's your relationship with the Lord? Wah! I like the honesty of one woman after church. Pastor asked her, Sister Johnson, how's it doing? How are you doing? She said, well, Pastor, I'm somewhere between praise the Lord and help me Jesus. We need to finally grow up and get off the fence and be glad that we are saved. Can you say, man? You get off the fence and really serve God and quit fooling around, you might win somebody to Jesus without even trying. When you get it right, people are going to know you're right, and you'll be like a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. Can you say, man? But until you do, you're just like they are. Just as pathetic, beat down, berated, given in to temptation, letting the devil run your life, questioning God. Listen to Revelation 6, 15 and 16. Then the kings of the earth, The great men and the commanders, the rich and the strong, and every slave and free man hid themselves in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. Said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. The resurrection says that God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man that he has ordained to be the judge of the world. That is the missing message. When John the Baptist preached, the religionists of his day were threatened because he did not submit to them. And they came down and they feigned. They put on, I want to be baptized. I want to repent. And he knew their heart was wicked. And you know what he said to them? The Sadducees, a religious sect. He said, who hath warned you to flee what? The wrath to come. There's a judgment coming. There's a payday someday. You're going to be on one side or the other when it hits. I want to be on the right side. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a place in Rotterdam, Holland. Oh, by the way, I can't finish all this, but how many know what the cross has provided? Not what it proved and what it proclaims about Judgment Day, but what it provides. It provides a solution. It provides a salvation. He was raised for our justification. Can you say, man, that means just as if we had never sinned. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It provides an opportunity for every person on this planet to have their sins forgiven. Hallelujah, to obtain the robe of righteousness, because God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. In Rotterdam, Holland, in closing, during one of these ancient wars where they were killing not just soldiers on a battlefield, but all of the innocents in their homes, there is a house in Rotterdam, Holland, called the House of 10,000 Sorrows. Because in that particular town, Rotterdam, people were killed, whole families were slain as enemy forces came in, kicked in doors, and killed everyone in the house. As awful and archaic and as that sounds, it's happening around the world today. In Rotterdam, Holland, at the House of 1,000 Sorrows can be visited. A family was inside. They heard the screams and wails of those being slaughtered, wholesale slaughtered. No way to defend themselves, no place to go, nowhere to run. So a man heard them getting closer and closer, the screams, the wails of those being slain and those watching their children slain. Outside the back door he ran was a baby goat. And he grabbed the baby goat and pulled it to the front door. He cut the throat of the baby goat and laid it right at the front closed door. And the blood of that goat ran under the door and began to pool down the three steps to his home and pool at the bottom. And as they came house to house, one group of men came to that house, looked at that door and all that blood running underneath, and passed them right by and said, somebody's already been there. We don't go in there. They were saved by the blood of that innocent goat. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. When you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, praise God. Amen. It's that blood. When I see the blood, what's going to happen to the angel of judgment in Egypt? When he sees the blood, isn't it good that he's not going to look you up and down and pick you apart? But when he sees that element, thank God for the blood of Jesus. When he sees the blood, you got any problems at all? You got any hang-ups at all? I do. I know you do. We all do. But when he sees the blood, when you see me, just me, you'll see flaws in me. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm living for God, but I'm not perfect. But when he sees the blood, he said, I will pass over you. The death angel said, not that house. Praise God. Friend of mine, I'm so glad today as we receive Holy Communion, when God sees the blood, he'll pass over us. And that's what we're proclaiming this Easter Sunday. Amen. We're proclaiming to a gainsaying world. We're saved because of his sacrifice, his death, his shed blood, and his resurrection. Praise God. Are you glad you're saved today? Hallelujah. Are you glad? Hallelujah, that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you glad that you're washed in the blood of Jesus? Are you going to pray for the people you know who are not ready to meet him should he come this very day? I'm going to ask as we receive communion and as you get ready to serve us, is there anyone in here that doesn't know Christ as your Savior? Anyone in this room that you have never met him, you don't know him? Thank God. Thank God. How many are going to stay close to him? How many are going to read your Bible more and not just try to get leadings or visions or dreams? If God wants you to have one, he'll give you one. But he's given you his word. And that should be the authority in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you'll keep coming to church, we'll expose the devil. We'll expose false prophets. Amen. And you will get rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. And you'll receive an inheritance that will never pass away. Hallelujah. That'll never fade in Jesus Christ. Amen. Brethren, will you serve us Holy Communion? Praise God. Hallelujah. As we celebrate the resurrection.